Speak, O Lord, your servant heareth. Amen. Please be seated. Somewhere over the rainbow, here it is. I'd like to start us by looking at the psalm, Psalm 66, because there's something about it that's really peculiar. And I think if we take a look at it, you'll see why it's peculiar. Psalm 66, and it is, it's odd. When you read the psalm, it is a psalm of joy, of great joy. Why? Because the children of Israel, the people of Israel, have been set free from bondage to Israel. And later, this song gets picked up again, and the people of Israel shout for joy because they have been liberated once again. Now, you might think that this Sunday psalm would say, "Come on, all you fellow Jews. God has delivered us from imperial slavery to Egypt. We're special. We've been loved by a God in a very special way in the exodus from slavery. Israelites, praise God." Well, the psalm does some of that, but I find it most curious that the psalm doesn't really carry through with that kind of joy. God's people, Israel, have been liberated, but the psalm that talks about it is left sort of empty. We often begin our church services with a call to worship, and this reading is no different. "All the earth and all the nations say this," says the psalmist. What on earth is he talking about? They should be rejoicing that they have been set free from slavery. And the psalmist writes not that God is doing something then for the people of Israel, but has done something in the past and will do something in the future. But the key thing about this passage is that they expect God to show up when they call. So in this case, the people notice that all of God's family is present. Call out, "God, we're all here, we're waiting for you. Let's praise God, all Israelites, praise God. Your best friends are here." But Psalm 66 doesn't only call on God's people Israel to worship, but rather turns on the loudspeaker and broadcasts the call to worship over the whole earth, calling upon all nations and indeed all the earth to join Israel in praise. It reminds me when I was in Indonesia. It's a Muslim country, as you know, and each imam of each mosque would try to outdo the other imams in calling people to prayer. And the prayer starts at like 3 a.m. or 5 a.m, and it just drives you crazy. The worst of it happened when the mosque closest to our house got loudspeaker. Now before, it had always been just the voice. Now it's the loudspeaker. Well, we can't have that, can we? So the other mosque on the other side gets a loudspeaker too. And we are right in the middle, and they are focusing their sound waves upon the little Christian pastor's house. And clearly they were experiencing the joy of being able to call people to worship. And even if it was a little bit much for us, for them, it made all the difference in the world. The call to worship is the call to be in the presence of God. The Israelites discovered that when they prayed and praised God, God was in their midst. 500-600 years later, when the disciples, followers of Jesus, prayed and praised that God was with them. And so regardless of what this text or other texts may wrestle with, the one truth, clear truth, is that no matter what we do, no matter where we are, God is with us. Most people, when they learn their first verse of the Bible, it's usually John 3:16. That's the verse that most people say, ah, that's how I learned the Bible, John 3:16. And how does that go? It goes something like this. For God so loved people like me, therefore God did, wait a minute. The text doesn't say for me, or people like me, it says the world. The gospel is for the world, not just for the followers of Jesus, not just for the followers Jesus in Israel's terms. Should we attempt to share our faith with those who are not of our faith? I don't know. Except I can say this, that once again, no matter what happens to us, God is with us and will not abandon us in any circumstances. Thanks be to God.